look in Jeremiah chapter 14 this morning. Want it to be a blessing. You pray God will help us, okay? Look in Jeremiah 14. The Bible says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languisheth. They are black under the ground. And the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for just this wonderful morning that you've given us to come and worship you, and given us to come and preach and sing under your name this morning. But Lord, it's the preaching hour, and God, I pray that you might help us for just a little bit. And God, I certainly need a touch from heaven today. God, I'm just begging of you that you would help us and touch us and anoint us afresh. And let me be able to preach as a dying man to dying people. Lord, that this might be the last time that we ever gather together in your house. God, I pray you'd burn that into our heart this morning, that this might be the very last time that we gather together. You might be soon to come to get the church. And Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, that they would get saved, God, before it's eternally too late. Now, God, again, I ask that maybe the one that's backslid, the one that's cold and indifferent on you, God, I pray they'd come and get right with you today. But God, I pray that you'd help us in that, to see how the Word of God, what you'd have us to see today. And Lord, we want to tell you that we love you and thank you for Jesus who loved us and died for us so that we might be saved. Now, God, go with us and keep us now while we preach for these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. In Jeremiah, now you have to understand what has taken place at this time in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet that is preaching and that to the nation of Judah and to the nation of Israel that they need and that to get right with God. The nation of Israel is full and that of idol worship. The nation of Judah is full of idol worship at this time. They have forsook God. You can go over to Jeremiah chapter 43 sometime and you can see that the women over there told Jeremiah, said, we're going to do what we're going to do. And they said, as far as the word of God that you speak unto us, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to do what goeth out of our own mouth. Let me say this. When you make the decision to do what you want to do, you go ahead and you help yourself. But when God shows up one day knocking, and I'll guarantee you that he will, you better watch out, friend, because it's going to come and it's going to be bad. But I want you to look here quickly by way of introduction. Can I say that God has cut the rain off? I mean, it's become a hard time because of their sin. The Bible said that there was a dearth. There was want. There was need. There was a scarcity of food. And listen, they couldn't find nothing to eat or nothing to drink. And friend, let me say that all that come because of their sin. If you look over the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible, God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 11, take heed to yourselves at your heart. Be not deceived, then you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. God had already warned them and that about sin. God had already warned them about departing and that from him. He said, the day you depart from me and worship other gods, I'll let her dry up. I'll cut the rain off. Friend, the land won't burn and you'll perish from off the land. So they should have seen what was going on. But they had got into a time of denial. Let me say this, that the prophets is over here. And if you look in the latter part or the middle part of the chapter, listen, Jeremiah is telling God over here. He tells them over, let me see if I can find this. Let me see if I can find it here. He tells them at one point that they're telling them. Let's look in verse 15. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesied my name, and I sent them not, yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Hey, listen, they were standing up there and that telling the children of Israel, nothing bad is going to happen. Nothing bad is going to come to pass. Listen, Jeremiah told him, or Ezekiel, I told him at one point, he told him, look, they have dubbed you with untempered mortar. There's no truth in it. They're divining lies, and it's going to come to an end. Amen. You can believe all the lies you want to and generate all the deception in your mind that you want to about sin in your life. But friend, there is a payday somewhere down the road. Galatians 6 and 7, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Of whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Going to come to pass. And so God had told the children of Israel, look, if you forsake me, that day's coming. So Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, I believe it was, he said, be for sure. He said, and be sure that your sin will find you out. It always comes to pass, don't it? You can't hide from sin, and I can't either. But listen, they've got false prophets out there telling them that it's okay. Listen, you can find you any religion and any preacher that you want that somewhere along the line they'll tell you the way you're living is okay. They'll tell you it'll be all right. Just do the best you can. Just do what you can. Be as kind to your neighbor as you can. Just give to the church the best you can to everything. Hey, it don't work that way, friend. You got to get your sins forgiven to start with yonder at Calvary, amen, and get saved and then work for the Lord Jesus Christ, not to stay saved, but because we are, amen. Thank God for that, and I can preach a lot on that. But I want you to look in verse 3 with me right here. And the Lord gave this to me the other night. I was just laying on the couch, and he instructed us over in Jeremiah chapter 14. I appreciate the Lord. And he said in verse 14, he's talking about their nobles and their children. He said, and their nobles have sent their children, or sent their little ones, to the waters. And they came to the pits and found no water, and they returned with their vessels empty. And they were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. I want to preach for just a little bit. And as I told my wife on the way here today, I was telling her what I was going to preach on. I told her two things. I said, one, I said, when I get done preaching, you go ahead and have the car running. I know what I'm preaching. I said, you just go ahead and have the car running. I said, but no, and I was only kidding. I said, you all know how to take me. If I was somewhere else preaching this message, I probably would have her have the car running, amen, where I could run and jump into it. But listen, then the second thing I told her this morning was not only have the car running, but listen, you know the importance of family this morning. I think you need to understand, and I need to understand the importance of family and the importance of your children. I want you to look right here what it says in verse 3. It talks about the nobles. And it talks about that the time that, first of all, that they were in. Can I tell you that it was a bad time? Can I tell you it was a dry time? It was a dark time in the nation of Israel. I mean literally and physically, it was a bad time. I mean, there wasn't nothing to drink. There wasn't nothing to eat. But spiritually, friend, it was a bad time. There wasn't nothing to eat, it seems, and there wasn't nothing to drink, and that spiritually. Hey, can I tell you that their time is much like our time today? Listen, it's not every church that you go into that the preacher's going to rear back and preach. Hey, as long as I'm in my right mind, I'm going to preach the truth. Whether you like me or not, whether this church keeps me or not, you may run me off one day because of preaching the truth, but for now I'm going to continue to preach the truth. You know why? You need it. I need the truth. Listen, it's the truth, the Bible said, in the book of John chapter 8, that makes us free. Amen. It's the truth. Listen, Jeremiah was trying to tell them the truth, and it was the truth that they wanted nothing to do with. And so the nobles, they send their young people, they send their children, their little ones out during this dry time. Hey, can I say that we're living in a dry time spiritually? I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, as the Apostle Paul was writing, he said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, we know what the word perilous means. It means dangerous, don't it? Listen, we're living in a dangerous time. Are we not living in? I mean, people are killing each other just to be killing each other. I mean, it's a shame of the things that's going on and the danger of life today. He said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Hey, listen, we live on the way to the lake. You ought to see the amount of boats during the summertime that me and Kelly pass on the way to church. Listen, we pass them. They're headed to the lake. We're headed to church. I ain't against you having a boat. I ain't against you fishing. I ain't against those things. But friend, when it comes time to go to church and serve God, you ought to be found doing His will, not laid up in some pleasure somewhere else. Amen. He said lovers of pleasure is more than lovers of God. And here's the scary part: having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We've run into that in the church today. There's a lot of churches that's got a form of godliness. Amen. They got a steeple on top, and they've got a sign out front. Listen, they've got a Bible, what they call a Bible. And they do a little, what we might call a little preaching or a little speaking or a little talking. But friend, I'm going to tell you what, when you really pin them down, all they've got is a form of godliness. It's dry. Friend, there's nothing to it. I want something to it when you come to church. Amen. I want to know that I've been to church. Whether it's in the preaching, whether it's in the worship, or all of it, I want to know that I've been to church. I like to know I've been preached to. When I go, hey, listen, I'm looking forward to this revival, I mean preached to. Amen. I'll be honest, you said, "Preacher, you preach to us all the time. We're about, well, you might be, but I don't get it all the time. I need preaching." Amen. Listen, and you do need preaching too. I'll be honest with you. You do, but listen, it was dry. And I mean, it's the same shape that we're in today. The house ought to be full and that of God's people today. But they could care less about God. He said, having a form of godliness. I mean, they look godly. They have a form of it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of religion has just become formal, hadn't it? Now listen, there's nothing wrong with some formality every now and again. Amen. There's nothing wrong with order. Or to have some order. Amen. God is a God of order. But when it turns into formality, and we order God out of the service and we formalize Him out of the service, then we're wasting our time, ain't we? And so we find right here it was a dry time. Just look in the next chapter, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word." Now he's talking to Timothy. The very first thing he tells him to do is preach. Why? Preach. Because folk need preaching. You need preaching. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season." Well, I tell you, when it feels good about preaching, preach. Jeremiah, when it feels good to preach, preach. Son, preach. I mean, preach. When it don't feel so good about preaching, preach anyway. Amen. And I've been on both sides of that thing.
I mean, there's been times, it was going to be good. I'm telling you, when you get up and the choir sings Heaven Town, and God lets you get up here and preach about heaven or something like that, you just want to shout it out. Hey, that's one of them times when it just seems in season. It just seems like everything's in the right direction. Well, when you call for the invitation after preaching like that, folks shouting in the invitation, I mean, what a time. But you know, there's sometimes that many people's looking at you and they could care less whether they're there, let alone whether you're there or not. I'm just being honest. I've been on both sides of it. Most of the time y'all look pretty good to see me here. Amen. I've learned one thing, and one preacher that I learned a long time ago, he said, man, I got to tell them that they look better going than they did coming. And he said, they got to going. I've never made that mistake. Hey, I've tried not to anyway. Well, I want you to look. Let me move on. I'm going to get drugged down here. He said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. He said, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So we see that preaching is reproving, it's rebuking, and it's exhortation, and that with long suffering and Bible doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, sometimes you just have to endure sound doctrine. You know, sometimes some of y'all sat there and you have to endure my preaching. Why? Because not all preaching is exciting sometimes. And not all exciting times make for good. As my preacher used to say, not all good preaching is. I can't remember how he said it, but it'll reverse itself around there somehow. But listen, sometimes exciting and sometimes it ain't. Sometimes you just got to endure some things and learn some things and go through it. He said, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves what? Teachers. That's what people want today. Well, now, preacher, I really want one of them teaching preachers. I really want one of them preachers that'll teach me something. I want to be able to teach you something while I'm preaching to you. Amen. I should be able to do that. But listen, folk don't want preachers today. They want teachers. He said, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and make full proof of thy ministry. So the nation of Israel is in about the same shape that we're in today. You can read Romans chapter 1 sometimes and see how unthankful they were and see how that they served the creature, talking about us, more than they served the Creator. That brought the Creator down to their level, made them like the four-footed beast the Bible talks about. Listen, I'm going to tell you today, God's nothing like us. That's right. And we're nothing like God, other than that we're created in His image. But friend, we're unholy and He's holy today.
Amen.
Amen. In your flesh, you're unholy. Amen. And you need to understand that your flesh ain't saved, but you need to be striving and that to serve God. But it was a dry time spiritually. It was a dry time. God, I mean, just as sure as there was physically, it was dry. Spiritually, it was dry. And friend, let me say this, that when it becomes dry, I want you to understand it had become a dark time spiritually also. A dark time. Can I say today that there's still a little light shining in our nation, but it keeps getting darker and darker and darker and darker. I read my news mostly. I read my news. I don't watch it on TV. I really don't want somebody else's opinion to tell me how to feel about the news. I like to formulate my own opinion on some things. But it's just a shame of the things that I read that's taking place in this nation.
Right.
I mean, and I'm getting ahead of myself right now. I'm talking about a dark time. A dark time. Spirits. Let me read this and I'll tell you. John chapter 3, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. And it calls Him the light over there in John chapter 3. And in verse 19 it says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Listen, you know what's wrong with the world today? They want to continue in the shape that they're in. Don't want anybody to tell them that they're wrong. Don't want anybody to tell them that they're sinners and that they need to get saved and that they need to come to God and that they need to make things right with Him. And that's why He sent His Son out to die so that you could get saved. Amen.
Right.
And so right here,
It said, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. When you come to God, you can have light shine abroad in your heart. I was reading an article the other day on the education that they were getting in San Diego, on the sex education that they were getting. And that was horrible. Horrible. Let me tell you some of that stuff. Let me say this right now, and I'm going to dig a hole probably, but I'm going to be very careful about this right here and try to use some right words here. Listen, it's up to you to teach your children. It's up to you to teach your children. Amen. It's not up to the federal government to teach your children. It's not up to the federal government to teach your children about home. It's not up to the federal government to teach your children about the bedroom. It's not up to the federal government to teach your children about any of that stuff. It's up to you. And we leave it up to the federal government to do that stuff. But I'm going to be honest with you today. They said some of that stuff that they were teaching out there in San Diego, it was so wicked and so corrupt, they couldn't even show it on TV. Now let me tell you, what we see on TV today is wicked and corrupt. And we see more today than what we've ever seen, I guess you might say. And if they had to pixelate it out and keep it from going on TV, imagine how wicked it was. You follow what I'm saying? That's in the textbook. What I'm trying to say is we're living in a dark time and a dark nation that don't love God, that wants nothing to do with God, is what I'm trying to get to. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is lying. Hey, they were living spiritually in a dry time and in a dark time. You take away the water and you take... Let me put it to you like this. Let me put it to you. Let's see if I can get it this way here. When you take away the Word of God, it's not only going to get dry,
that's right,
it's going to get dark. Who's he talking about right here in verse 3? He's talking about the nobles and their little ones. He's talking about the children. Now I sit in here and I look across the church and I see that the most of you are here because you believe the truth. If you didn't believe the truth, you wouldn't be here. I say most of you. Now we ought to live like we believe the truth Monday through Sunday, shouldn't we? Just not on Sunday. A lot of people come and they want to be affiliated and say, well, I believe the truth, but then when Monday comes around, they sure don't live like they believe the truth. Well, I mean, it was a dry and it was a dark and it was a bad time, but I want you to look that number two, that the nobles, I sent their little ones out to find something. I want you to see that, first of all, that it was the nobles. That word noble means to be great or elevated. It means to be exalted or distinguished. Let me say this, in the nation of Israel and in the nation of Judah, you're talking about people that had special privileges. You're talking about the princes. You're talking about those that were in authority, those that were raised up. And the Bible said right here in verse 3 that it was so dry and it was such a time literally that there was nothing to eat or to drink that they sent their little ones out under the pits to try to find something to drink. Now let me say this, if there was anybody that could have got some water, if there was anybody that should have been hoarding the water, it was them. It was the nobles. They were the people of special privilege. They were the people that after the commoners had ate up everything and after everything was drunk up, they should have been able to have at least had a little water to drink. You follow what I'm saying? But even they did not have anything. Can I tell you that as I studied this and looked at the nobles, it was in Nehemiah's day that the Bible told us over there when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall out there of Jerusalem after they come back out of bondage that Jeremiah had preached on right here, and they come back in Nehemiah's day, that it was still the noble rulers over there that would not put their neck to work, the Bible said. He said they wouldn't even go to work. Said the nobles wouldn't even go to work. And then as you get toward the latter part of the chapter, it was the nobles that had profaned the Sabbath. And I mean, he was getting on to them. And by the way, when you read the rest of that chapter over there about Nehemiah rebuking them nobles over there, he got over there with the rest of them. They had married outside the nation of Israel. He got so aggravated with them over there. I mean, he was pulling their hair out. Bible said that he smote them. He was beating on them for what they had done. I mean, Nehemiah was mad. And he's not only preaching mad, but man, he was responding mad. Preacher, you try to snatch my hire out. I won't try to snatch your hire out. Some of ours is already falling out. But you know what? God might want to snatch your hire out. God might start beating on you. Why? You're no better. The nobles was in a position that if anybody should have known better, they should have known better. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about people that didn't know better. We're talking about people that should have known better. But I want you to look what it said right there. It said they sent their little ones out in verse 3 to go get the water. They sent their little ones out after water. They knew that there was something that they needed, but they wasn't going to be able to find it. And this is really what I'm preaching on today. And what are you sending your children after? Moms and dads, let me ask you a question right here. What are you hoping they get? What do you hope that your children get out of this world? I mean, they sent them after water, but they were sending them to a place where there was no water. They were sending them to this. He's talking about cisterns. Y'all know what cisterns are? Pits, he's talking about cisterns. That's just a pit that will catch rainwater and hold it till it's time to drink. My great-grandmother and great-grandfather, Mama and Papa Carter, they had a cistern right behind their house. And over the years, he had put an electric pump down in that cistern. And I can remember as a boy, I remember being on the farm over there and drinking out of that cistern. That was a great big thing. That was a great big thing. But you know what? When it quits raining, cisterns will tend to dry up over a period of time. Can I tell you something? They sent them out to go to the pits and go to cisterns and to look for some water, but they found none. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm determined that a lot of parents are sending their children into places to where there is no water. You say, well, I've got my child here this morning. I'm glad that they're here. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Amen. But I'm going to be honest with you. And some of you are going to disagree with the statement I'm about to make. And that's okay. You can disagree with me all you want to on this one. But I would struggle to send my child to public school today. I would. I know that some agents is jammed up against it, and you say all the options is we either homeschool or send them to Christian school, private school, and all this costs money, or I'm going to have to quit work. I'm going to tell you what I do. I believe I get on my knees and start seeking God and say, Lord, what would you have me do with my child? Because you're sending your child to a place, to a cistern that has no water in it. I mean, listen, now, they sent them out to try to get some water, to get something. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not sending my child to school and that to try to find God and all those things. Then why are you sending them? Again, I go back. It's not the federal government. No matter what they tell us on the news, no matter what you've been implemented with into your mind, it's not the federal government nor the state government nor the local government's responsibility to train your child. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to make sure that they learn about the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's your responsibility to know that they learn about God and learn about His blessed Son, Jesus Christ. That would save us from our sins. But they were sending them to a place that had no water. You know what? You know what Jeremiah told them one time? In chapter 2, he said, for my people have committed two evils. He said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. He said, the children of Israel have forsaken me, the one that is the living well. Listen, he's not a cistern. He's a well that runs continually and continually. And friend, and he will be fresh water when you need him. Bible said in the book of John chapter 4, as the Lord was standing there, I told him about the woman of Samaria over there, that woman at the well. And here's what he told her: but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Even when I went to school, I graduated in, and here we're going to tell our age, in 1993, and some of you graduated way before that, some of you graduated way after that, but even when I went to grammar school, we had Bible in school. Man by the name of Mr. Buck come and taught our Bible class. I have no idea where he come from. I don't know what church he was out of. But I appreciate that man for coming and standing before us and teaching us the Bible. Because you know what? Now, I went to Sunday school. Growed up in church. I grew up in Southern Baptist Church. We had training union on Sunday night. In other words, that was Sunday school for Sunday night, if you would. And then had Sunday night preaching and Wednesday night service. But you know what? Some of them folk that I went to school with didn't have no church at all. Now, you're raising your young'uns in church. And you're at least trying to get them to a well that's got some water in it. But you know, not everybody's doing that. Not everybody is trying to get their child and that to a water and to a well that's got water into it. Hey, let me tell you this. He said they sent their little ones to the water and they came to the waters and they came to the pits and found the water. You know, there was a time when you could send your child to public school and they'd learn about God. They'd learn about God in the curriculum. They'd learn about God. Ain't gonna happen now. Why? They're not gonna teach them creation. They're going to teach them evolution. They're going to do everything that they can do to take God out of their mind. They're going to do everything that they can do to say, no, you can't talk about Jesus. They're going to do everything that they can do. You're sending your kids to a place, friend, that's a pit that has no water in it. What are we talking about? The water. The Word of God. I mean, what did he say in the book of Ephesians? That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Hey, listen, this monk is considered water. It'll clean you up. It'll refresh you. It'll exhilarate you. It'll get you ready to go. Amen. And give you some excitement too, by the way. But they sent him to a place. I think I'd just be very careful. Every missionary, every preacher, every pastor's wife, every missionary's wife, and you can ask my wife if this is not true. When I find out that they homeschool their children, I am like a motor mouth. I am running 90 mile an hour. I'm asking them why. I asked them what curriculum they use, whether it's ACE, whether it's Sebeka, whether it's Bob Jones Sr. I mean, I asked them every question that I can ask about homeschooling. How do they do with people say, well, if we homeschool our kids, then they'll not be well adjusted and well associated with life. Keep them in church and they will be. Amen. You just better be careful. You send them down to the school system, they're going to learn some things that they ought not to learn. I'm not wanting to make you mad. I'm going to be like Brother Ralph. Are we okay today?
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. I told my wife on the way here, sometimes when I start a message, when I start studying for a message, I've already got the whole thought in here and I just got to work it out and get it on paper and get it in my mind, and then we go and God will show up. Amen. If I pray and seek Him. But when I started this thing, all I had was this verse. And man, the more I read it, the more I studied, the more I prayed, the more worried I got. Amen. Why? Because I know that every one of you moms and dads sitting in here take your kids serious. Right? You take your children serious, don't you? You love your young'uns. And I have no doubt that you want to do right for them kids. Well, that loudmouth preacher trying to tell me how to raise my young'uns. Yes, I am. I'll be honest with you, but I'm trying to give you Bible with it. I'm just being as honest as I know how to be, friend. I mean, if you ain't careful, you're going to send your little ones out. People that know better, people that should know better, we're going to send them out and that to a place to where there's no water. You better be careful about all these extracurricular activities. Listen, if you want them to play ball, let them play ball. You want them to do other things, as long as it's not unholy, let them go after it. Let me put it to you like this. When they were little and they wanted to play ball, and they had to hit it off a tee that was about that high, who put the love in them for them to do that? Did they just say one day, I want to go play tee ball? Did they say that? Or did you put a love of that stuff in it for them? You understand what I'm asking? Because see, now once you put the love in it, in them for it, then as they grow and they get older and they develop a love for it, you can't get it out of them. Why can't we do the same thing with church? When they're real little, why can't you put a love of God in them for church? Why can't you put a love in them that they want to come to Sunday school? Tell them something, man, at Sunday school, you're going to learn about Jesus. You're going to learn about Jonah and the whale. You're going to learn about these fellows called Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what God can do. We put a love in them for everything else out in the world. But why can't we put a love in them for the things of God? How much of love do you have in your heart for the things of God? Just asking a question. Play Brother Ralph again. Are we all right? I hope so. So they go out and they send them out to look for some water. And the Bible said they came to the pits. You know, a pit is a place you can fall into, and it's a trap, by the way. When it ain't got no water in it, it's dangerous. And the Bible said, and they returned with their vessels empty, and they were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. You know, when you send your children to a place that there is no water, they're going to come back empty. You should never leave here empty. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you ought to be a little more full than what you was when you come in. But they come back. The nobles sent them out to find water, but they found none. But what they needed most of all was for mom and dads to help them. Notice it didn't say that the nobles went with them, but sent their little ones to the waters, and they came to the pits and found no water, and they returned with their vessels empty. Can I tell you the best thing that you can ever give your child is the precious Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, tell them about what Jesus did for you. I mean, tell them. The preacher, it's personal. Come on, moms and dads. Tell them young'uns about what Jesus done for you. Well, how that He loved you and saved you. He said, well, it just ain't in my nature. Listen, they're your responsibility. They're your responsibility. You can even tell them sometimes, you know, there's been times, you can tell them as they get older, there's been times that your mom and daddy ain't even done right. But you know what? The Lord, He helped us get some things right. And we got right with Him. And He let us get right with Him. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it'll make a difference in their life. It really will. It'll make a difference. They won't be empty. I'd hate to send my child out to the waters and that they come back and they come back empty. The Bible said they returned with their vessels empty and were ashamed and confounded. Ashamed and confounded. Boy, I tell you, if had all this opportunity, I mean, a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, some people are in good sound doctrine Baptist churches, preaching the truth, and they squander the truth. They squander it. They just come on Sunday, and maybe not even come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night, and squander the truth. I'm like Big Jim Seaton said. Somebody asked him, well, what do you got for the young people down at the church? Well, we've got Sunday school, and then we've got preaching, and preaching, and preaching. Well, that ain't what we want, but that's what they need. That's what you need, and that's what I need. They need it somewhere that they could find some water. You won't find on ball field. Again, I'm not against your kids playing ball. I'm against them playing it during church time. I'm against them playing it when they ought to be at church, when they ought to be serving God. Listen, all this other extra career. Listen, if you can do it and still serve God, and it's not against God's word, you help yourself. But I'm afraid that we're getting so entangled and that with the world, friend, that you're going to send your child to a place where there's no water. And they're going to come back empty. Bible said this as I close in Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Train him up. Say, preacher, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. And that with the Word of God. Then keep after it. Keep after it. Keep training them with the Word of God. Hey, when they're little, keep whispering in their ear and tell them about the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's give us a verse of invitation. Where are you sending your children? Hey, some moms and dads is going to let their kids slip off into hell. Going to let them slip off into hell because they're not saved theirself. You say, well, I'm going to let my child make their own decisions. Children can't do that. They'll jump and bite at the first flashy thing that comes by, and you know that. They need instruction. But if you're unsaved, you need instruction too. You need to get saved today. You need to come and get saved. My friend, I just want you to send your kids somewhere, your little ones, where they can get some water. Like I say, you bring them to church, man, we'll preach to them, we'll love on them, we'll tell them about Jesus, and you keep doing that. I want you to, but I just want you to be careful and pray about what else you let them do away from home. All the stuff that I learned, a lot of the bad stuff that I learned wasn't at home. No, it was away from home. He said, well, you can't shelter them forever. And I understand you can't shelter them forever. But friend, there's just some things they don't need to learn until they get older. Remain and hold their innocence as long as you can. You need to do that. God will instruct you and help you with it. He certainly will.